going around the circle, I see some faces I've been seeing all weekend as part of our weekend sesshin, and faces that have come today for the regular Jikoji Sunday program. I'd like to spend a few minutes trying to merge that by sharing with those of you who've arrived today, and I know most of you come often, not just today, but share with you a bit what some of us have been doing here the last few days, our weekend of just sitting and walking with awareness. For the most part, we've been practicing silence and zazen. And take a break from that during this part of the Sunday program to join together with the words that are normally part of this this Sunday at Jikoji, of all Sundays at Jikoji. The just sitting part of the title we've had for this weekend sesshin. Let me back up a few steps to explain where that comes from. Somewhere, somehow, all of us have encountered shikantaza. If it was possibly, maybe very likely, through Koben, one of his teachers, or maybe shikantaza came into your life in some other way. But something touched you, connected with you, and you've been doing just sitting in your practice in some way. So as you know, it is a personal practice. It's an individual practice. But periodically, we have a need to come together. It's not essential, but sometimes we want support of other people in our practice of shikantaza, of just sitting. We want variety in how we practice, another form possibly. Or we come together to celebrate, come together for ceremony. But all those things are extra. Our just sitting can happen and does happen everywhere and all the time. But when we come here to Jikoji for some of the gatherings, let's call them, take the sesshin in particular, in recent years we've started to slowly let come into the schedule opportunities to practice in the style of Koben's Zazen master, Kojo Zawaki, and his Dharma heir, Uchiyama Roshi, in what sometimes is called the Antaiji style sesshin, or the no toys sesshin. Neither of those titles seem to work very well for me. So when we've introduced these changes a little bit from what Koben introduced us to, sometimes just call it just sitting, like this weekend, which simply means that, once again, following Kodo Zawaki's emphasis on zazen, and zazen for the sake of zazen, zazen that has no purpose other than zazen, in following that teaching of Kodo Zawaki, Koben's Zazen master, we add more zazen into the schedule. More silence, less talking. Do without services and meal chants and dokusan, and any unnecessary talking. So that we usually do that during Rohatsu here, at least the last 4 days of Rohatsu in recent years has been dedicated to this, to that, just sitting, you know, greater emphasis on Zazen type. And once in a while, now this is the second time we tried to practice that style on a weekend sesshin. But also taking advantage of the natural setting in which we find Jikoji here in these beautiful Santa Cruz Mountains and surrounded by open space. We have taken some of the time saved from services in Dokusan and work period and chanting, and tried to connect with what everything else that's sitting around us, trying to realize. Well, we already know that our practice isn't confined by the walls of a zendo. And it's not only what happens here when between the three bells that initiate zazen and the bells, whether one or two, that end the zazen. Once again, as I said earlier, zazen is taking place all the time, everywhere, and we join it. We slow down, quiet down, settle, and join the zazen that's always happening, which includes, of course, the zazen that the trees and the creek and the rocks and the critters out there are doing as well. So we've added to these few weekend sesshins time out there, not only in here. And some of that time does come with words, because we're blessed with naturalists in our sangha, Ingrid here across from me, and also Charles, who couldn't make it because of a health issue, folks who have worked in national and state parks and have lived and know the ecology of this place, the ecological history of this place, the human history, to help bring us an awareness of who else lives here besides us. I say who, anthropomorphizing a bit, but we share this space. We're really the recent comers here, and are joining, you know, beings that have been here eons before us. So that's what you're sort of coming into by coming here this Sunday. You're joining this process, which is still going on. Our weekend together continues through 4:30 this afternoon, and I want to be sure that you know that you're invited to stay after when the Sunday program here usually ends after lunch, to stay and join us. Now, there's, you know, several things happening simultaneously, so a little bit of a smorgasbord that you can choose from this afternoon. And I want to mention those sort of announcements before I get into reading something that I think will lead us to actually doing something together after this short talk. But on our weekend schedule at 1:30, Ingrid will be leading a talk, a walk and talk, once again, to help us become more aware of what's out there, to increase our appreciation of the wonder where we practice inside and outside the zendo. So that's 1:30 to 3. But as is usually the case on first Sundays at Jikoji, Jiro, tea master, among other masters, will be offering tea both at 2 and at 3:30. So you could join Jiro for one of those. And then there are two more periods of zazen on our schedule after Ingrid's walk-ins at 3. A zazen at 3 and a zazen at, you know, 50 minutes after that, ending at 4:30. So that's the afternoon calendar, and I hope that you stay around after after lunch and participate in any or all of those, whatever, however you can work out that variety of activities this afternoon. Ingrid, did you have anything you wanted to say to the folks that they might want to bring with them if they just choose to go on to walk with you this afternoon?
There are ticks in the grasses, and I came up on my day off on Tuesday and I found a tick. I haven't heard anything else, so you know, that I think is what I look for most. Most people know what poison oak looks like, and we're not going to be bushwhacking with poison oak, but you know, ticks are very creative.
Ingrid, we have some herbal tick spray and...
Oh, okay, that's great.
Tea, so, yeah, I'll put it out for you guys.
Yeah.
And since it's a warm afternoon, sunny afternoon, if you need it, bring water along and sunscreen. But in addition to getting aware of what's out there through the, Ingrid and others sharing the knowledge with us for our heads. There's another thing we've done several times this weekend, which hopefully there'll be time to do with you. Yes, and there will be, I can see by the clock, after I conclude the few words I have to share here. And that is going out here into our surroundings and having a conversation in the spirit that one of our Dharma sisters, Stephanie Kaza, wrote about almost 20 years ago in her book called The Attentive Heart, Conversation with Trees. Mm-hmm. And so we've gone out several times this weekend and just sat out there somewhere on our own, individually, near a rock, near a tree, near the creek, maybe near the chickens, your choice. I'd like to share a few of the words that Stephanie wrote here. I happen to have been here when she was finishing up the work on the book during a practice period here in early 1992. She and her partner, Davis, who did the illustrations, the beautiful illustrations in this book, were here that March, I believe it was, the winter when the drought broke and we had and the plants and animals out here had their thirst quenched by a wonderful wet winter, and Stephanie and Davis were here. She dedicates, or in her acknowledgments, indebted to her teachers, including primarily Kobin Chino Otagawa, for her thanks to him for root understanding and the gift of the Dharma. From her introduction, my practice of writing with trees is based in the Zen form of Shikantaza, just sitting. I spend time in silence, close to trees, doing my best to be simply present with the tree as other, with a capital O, other, aware of my thoughts, moods, and projections. I had no idea at first how this would work, but I persisted in this experiment. The writing became an excuse to listen for a call from the trees in whatever form it took. I did not go to the trees with an agenda or story in mind, but chose rather to see what would unfold by being completely present in the specific place and moment. The relationship between person and tree, arising over and over again in many different contexts and with various individuals, is one subset of human, non-human relationships. I am exploring it here as a way to inquire into the nature of these relationships. I want to know, what does it actually mean to be in a relationship with a tree? acknowledgement of and participation in relationships with trees, coyotes, mountains, and rivers is central to the philosophy of deep ecology. In this writing, I express one person's experience of the truth of this philosophy. By sharing this process with others, I hope to encourage and support people, us, in engaging in their own serious conversations with trees. In these meetings of tree and person, I allow myself to see and be seen by trees. I assume that the sensing of the other, once again capitalized, is two-way and active, though I cannot describe the biological basis of this for the tree. By the way, at the time that she wrote this, and she came back here that weekend from her position as an environmental studies professor in Vermont, at the university in Vermont. Then jumping over to her chapter here on that was specifically written about this land and these trees. Inside the meditation hall, I sit, which is where we're sitting, she wrote this, with my hand in my lap, breathing into the hollow of my palms, left hand lying gently inside the right, thumb tips barely touching, center point of concentration in the posture of Zen meditation. Back straight, mind deep in the body, the hands open and connected to the motion of breathing. Outside, the creek dances through the rocks, refreshing the small hollow below Skyline Ridge. Evergreen bay laurels cover the quiet spot with shade and whispering. In between periods of meditation, I walk slowly around the deck, drawing in the sweetness of early spring. By mid-morning, the land is speaking more powerfully than the meditation hall. Maybe it's doing that for us too. Come. Come, walk with me. Smell the fresh soil. Catch the bright sky. Come to the trees. Come. So she goes on to describe her walk down to the pond here and the alder trees across the pond. And she continues, I wonder if a tree knows when someone's hand is on its body. Does it feel a little warm, like an exchange of electricity? This act of reaching out is a small gesture, but it is filled with great intention. I am simply trying to say hello across the barriers of form and language. I believe the hands communicate this intention most honestly. The voice and mind are not direct enough. Or perhaps they are too complex for this first step in making contact. Besides, the tree and I have such different minds and voices. I don't know the language of these alders at all. I can only guess at the shape of a tree's mind and what it knows about life at the edge of the pond. How does this water taste to an alder? How does the morning sun feel on its new leaves? How does the wind feel moving through its branches? And she goes on to describe that she actually put her hands in the water and touched the tree, putting her hands down where the roots of the tree meet the water and are emerged. And here the conclusion of her chapter on the Jokoji land and those alders down by the pond. It is difficult to imagine the scale and complexity of activity that goes on inside a tree. I sense in my hands some charge, some energetic voice at work here. Joining palms to trunk, I form a circle of energy with this tree. Listening through my hands, I meet this tree from my own experience of sunlight and stillness. Bound to a single place, perhaps the tree delights in the simple rhythm of the changing day. Maybe it is similar to sitting in the meditation hall, watching the day go by when there is nothing else to do. First the day begins, then it unfolds, and soon it closes down, and the night sky appears. Day after day, the rhythm repeats, shaping the tree's life through the seasons. The tree itself is a manifestation of rhythm, of the way the light works. Supple trunk, dainty flowers, fresh green foliage, all are testimony to the pattern of change. This is what my hands recognize, this movement of sun, earth, and water. At some fundamental level, this tree and I are made of the same rhythms. We share a common understanding, available in the meeting place of touch. Reaching out, I find a simple way to begin a conversation. Coming close, I offer my hands in greeting. Our fellow Dharma sister, student of Copen's, Stephanie Kaza. So we have about 20 minutes until the dinner bells or lunch bell is likely to be struck. So I say, invite you to take whatever it is, if anything, from the words and teaching that Stephanie shared with us in this book nearing its 20th anniversary. Go for a short walk within range of where you could hear the bell. And find what you'd like to find. Maybe it's a tree you want to sit by or touch. Maybe you just want to sit by Koben Shrine across the creek and have your conversation there. But then even enjoy the beauty of this sunny, warm, quiet afternoon. Quiet except for the sounds of Highway Skyline Boulevard up there, but you can come back again on some weekday, midday, and enjoy the conversation with trees and without all the background hum or roar. I appreciate you for indulging this, my inclusion of our Sunday guests into the rhythm of our session this weekend. Thank you.